because that feeling and passion we are talking about and love is the exception. So Rumi, in a very long paragraph, talks about this free will, which is ikhtiyar, and I explain, I have to repeat this, I'm sorry. There is no other way except in Arab language you could understand the difference between these two. Because when we talk about you being forced to do something, free will or not free will for you are a black and white stuff. Jab and ikhtiyar are not those. Jab, first of all, is algebra and being forced to do something. That being forced goes with the rule. And ikhtiyar means to be able to recognize the goodness. Rumi will talk about it later. He will say, okay, let me tell you this. If I hand you two donuts, okay, and you don't know the difference, and I'll tell you, please choose. What do you do? You'll choose one of it, right? Okay. Before you choose, let me tell you, one of these donuts is full of cyanide. Now, do you choose? You don't. There is no choice. There is no such a thing as choice. It's only recognition which one is better. Choosing the better one is forced upon you, yes. That's how force comes in. You are majbur to accept the best. If not, you're damn stupid. If you have two choices, one is good, the other one is no good, do you have two choices? Or your choice is clear, the good one? The bad one is not the choice. Therefore, in Arab language, we call it ikhtiyar. Means knowing what khair is. Because there is this khair, which is the essence of goodness. Khair. Yes. Arabic pronunciation will be khair. Persian is khair. Almost the same. Sorry, almost. That's how it goes. Ikhtiyar means being able to find the goodness, to see the goodness in it. That's why we all talk about cleaning up your lenses and changing your vision to see the goodness in the thing. The goodness needs a special eye to be seen. You don't have that eye. Your eye is usefulness. You judge the things in this universe for the personal use. That ego, that me, which wants to remain alive, will do that. Rumi said this is something that we'll talk a lot and a lot and a lot about, because this is the main subject. Believe it or not, this is the first main barrier. Therefore, it should have been explained in which one of our stories is good to explain this. Remember I said this is the first barrier. So this should happen first thing in our stories, right? Let's hear it. Peter, read it. You see, the beginning of our story is always Adam and Eve. That's the beginning, right? Let's go to Adam and Eve right at the beginning to know the barrier.
How Adam imputed that fault to himself, saying, O Lord, we have done wrong. And how Iblis imputed his own sin to God, saying, because thou hast seduced me.
Listen carefully, because I'll not interrupt it. You will hear the story. Because the paragraph is very beautifully done. I told you before, here you will see Rumi adding something to the Holy Book. In the Holy Story, there is this Adam and Eve and the fruit. Okay, somewhere is apple, somewhere else is weed. Doesn't matter. They will eat it and they will be kicked out
of the paradise. Good for them or bad for them? The first one we call paradise is paradise before, means the past. And you remember how I feel about the past? I don't like the past. You know why? Because if past was good, God will keep it. And will be beside us. Doesn't matter. It's gone. Future. Maybe. We're talking about now. Hard. This moment. Present. Remember? This is our timing and our attempts. Anyhow. The past is the past paradise, which is animalistic paradise. That's paradise of innocence. In it, nobody knows anything. That's the paradise that belongs to the babies. Picking up the fruit, becoming knowledgeable, you're kicked out of that one. There is another one. That other one is completely different. First of all, in the second one, the flow of all stuff depends on your will. Everything goes your way because you will be it. You are the successful one. That's promised paradise, right? Anyhow, this is what this story is, right? Rumi will change it. We'll say, okay, first it happened the way the Bible and Torah and Quran and all these Semite stuff are telling us. That it happened like this, and God said, who did this? And there were two reactions. First reaction is the logical one. What happened logically? Do you remember? Something magical, unexplainable, very complicated happened that nobody could explain. It happens like this, that Adam and Eve are created, and they're sitting down, and the fruit of knowledge is on the tree for them, but they don't know. What is that? They will know it only after having a bite of it, right? And they haven't had it, never. So they're sitting down like other animals. This fruit of knowledge is created for them, they don't know it. God played a trick. This is that spell we're talking about. It's a magical spell. How? He chose his best angel. What is the best angel? Angels, in all the mystical books, they refer to the adjective. Adjectives of God. That's what angel is. They're a part of this God, let's say Harim, and they are the adjectives. And Satan was the best, closest to him. Why? His knowledge. Satan knows everything. Everything. That's knowledge. The essence of knowledge is Satan. And knowledge should be the first one to answer. Right? And he played the major role in this. Do you remember what was the role? He brought the thing that you have. We talked about it today. What is your attitude?
Doubt.
He planted the doubt in Adam and Eve. He said, maybe he meant the opposite. Then what do you say? Because he didn't talk directly like this. It was not an order. It was something like this, that be aware that this fruit doesn't come cheap and it's not here for everyone because there is a price to pay. And there is, isn't there? Oh, we will see. We will see, we will face the danger of knowledge and becoming knowledgeable. At the end of